Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 5. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 1 through 20. That's a lot of scriptures, but it all ties into this story of deliverance. And so allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful evening of worship. I thank you for the saints of God that have pressed through tonight. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus, Our Deliverer. He's our deliverer, amen? And so, let's look at verse 1. It says, then they came to the other side of the sea. What sea? The Sea of Galilee. It's a lake, a giant lake. We've been there. We were there April. To the country of the Gadarenes. Verse 2. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Verse 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. Verse 5, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. You need to get a hold of this. Verse 7, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. My, there's a whole lot just in that. Verse 8. And he said to him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for there are many. Verse 10. Also, he begged him earnestly that he could not send him out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. Okay, we're going to touch on that as well. Swine, what are they doing in Israel? Well, we're going to find out what part of Israel they were in. Verse 12. So all the demons begged him. Oh, there was more than one, huh? All the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. Wow, that's serious. Verse 13, and at once Jesus gave them permission. Wow. Man, that's a whole lot of grace, huh? Man, he could have sent them into the pit right there. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Verse 14, so those who fled, the swine fled, and they told in every city and in the country, and they went out to see what has happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw that the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed. And about the swine, then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. Verse 18, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. And the last verse 20, and he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Wow. Man, I could just give an altar call now. Huh? My goodness. Let's look at verse 1. And they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, since the land of the Gerasenes was located southeast of the Sea of Galilee. The precise location is uncertain because this area, sometimes written as Gerasenes or Gergesenes, it was the Gadarenes in various manuscripts. Let's take a look up here real quick. We were there, and this is the region that we didn't get to walk on because it's kind of barren on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. But in this region, it's considered the Gadarenes. And also on this side, and we can't see the mountaintop, but that's how you get way up there where it's a disputed part now, where Iran is there, Syria is there. It's on top of, I believe it's called the Golan Heights. And that's how you get to the top of it on this side of the mountain. Okay? And so here's another scene here. And so you could have just imagined, these stones are there since that man was demon-possessed. They haven't changed. The geography is just, it's, a lot of it's still intact. So he went from tombs to tombs and tombs. He was being tormented by demons. My goodness. So saying, some scholars cite evidence that favors the country of the Gerasenes, probably referring to a small town called Gersa, modern-day Kursa or Kurs, which is K-O-U-R-S. These 10 cities were independent governments, were largely inhabited by Gentiles. This is why there were swine there. You didn't find the swine in Jerusalem or all the other sites in Israel, but they were mainly herded there where the Gentiles were. So they had a whole bunch of chicharrones over there. Oh, yeah. They had a whole lot of lechon there. It was permitted over there, huh? Oh, yes. What are some of those famous tacos you like to eat, honey? What are they called? Carnitas. So all that was over there. So if you wanted carnitas, you had to go to the Gadarenes. And it explains where the herd was. The Jews did not raise pigs. Why? Because according to Jewish law, pigs were unclean and thus unfit to eat. This is why the rabbis always going in, is there any bacon on that pizza? I remember we had some beans, and somebody put some poke in them beans, and he was tearing it up. Whatever the exact location of their landing, the point is that Jesus had planned to go there. This was Gentile territory, revealing a new direction for his ministry. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that Jesus went through the highways and byways through our hoods and found you and me? That's right. That's right. He came to our hoods where we had everything going on. Well, no different in that day. Look at verse 2. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Saints, it's difficult to picture the awful sight of this man with an evil spirit. Bloody, out of control, and apparently strong and frightening look. I mean, the guy was probably hideous, a monster. Having an evil or unclean spirit means demon possessed. There's folks walking around today that look like they're demon-possessed. Although we cannot be sure why demon possession occurs, we know that evil spirits can use the human body to distort and destroy a person's relationship with God. Be careful what you entangle yourself with. Can I get an amen? These evil spirits had entered the man's body and were controlling him. And so We see through the scriptures that Jesus had to deal with these issues. Aren't you so blessed that he didn't step over those issues? No, I'm going to leave that person tormented. You better be thankful that he dealt with the spirits that were operating in our life. Can I get amen? Look at what it says in Luke. Then the disciples of John reported to him concerning all the things, and John, calling two of the disciples to him, sent to Jesus, saying, "Are you the coming one, or we look for another?" This is John the Baptist inquiring about Jesus. And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" And at that very hour, look what Jesus did. He cured many infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. Those evil spirits, they live on throughout eternity. You and I cannot destroy an evil spirit. I hope you know that. They're a spirit. They're not flesh and blood. And they're everywhere. But we're going to see a little later where they end up to this place that Jesus is going to send them and torment them forevermore. And to many blind, he gave sight. Praise God. That was the ministry. The ministry. Now, we also see in the book of Acts how deadly these spirits are. Listen, let me just say this. If someone calls you and says, "You know what, I think someone is either oppressed or possessed by a demon," you better be prayed up. Can I get amen? You better be filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't just come with your Bible, "In the name of Jesus, I bind you and rebuke you." Oh, yeah? Look at this story right here in Acts. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord. So now they're using Jesus' name. You know, the world can use Jesus' name, but guess what? They are powerless. They don't have 1 ounce of the Holy Ghost in them. So look at this. They took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." You catch that? By the way, I know a guy, and he binds and rebukes you, and I'm doing what he does. Okay? Look at verse 14. Also, there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest. Look at this, chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" So before you go bind and rebuke a demon-possessed person, if that demon looks right dead in your eyes and says, "And who are you?" You know what? That's the time you better start backpedaling. Exit stage left, right even. That's what Home Bucket used to always tell me all the time. Look at this. Why? Because then the man in whom the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Meaning they were running down the street butt naked. And if they had a tail, it would be between their legs running. Listen, the spiritual world is real. Can I get amen? Don't you dabble in the occult. Don't you come against demon spirits if you are not Holy Ghost filled, prayed up, and God has shown you something. You better come with numbers. People in the same like-minded faith filled with the Holy Ghost, prayed up. You better come speaking in tongues too. Can I get amen? The devil don't know heavenly language. That's right. That's why God gave us that language. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So let's go back to verse 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. I bet there was a whole lot of strong men in Israel during that time. They couldn't contain this guy. He was out of control. Saints, this demon-possessed man's condition was clearly hopeless without Christ. He no longer had contact with society. He was an outcast. He was in the tombs. He was in the mountains. He was in the boondocks. And he lived amongst the tombs. This could refer to a type of a graveyard with caves hewn in the rock, which we just saw. People with hopeless conditions such as this man, saints, could find shelter in the caves. People had tried to restrain his violent acts. The man had been put into chains and shackles. I need you to put on now your spiritual glasses and look at something here. Because before Jesus set us free, we was all bound up too. Bound up. Every one of us was toe up from the flow up. We all had different vices. Some of us were what? Alcoholics, drug addicts. Some of us were slanderers. Some of us just picked fights. Some of us were just angry for no reason. Every one of us had an issue that God had to deal with our heart through the cross. Every one of us. We were no different from this man. We weren't. But he snapped the chains and smashed the shackles, indicating power that was not his own, but derived from the demons that held him. This man was so strong that no one could control or overpower him. Let's look at verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Why? He was being tormented. Tormented. I remember right before I got saved, about maybe a month, I was tormented. God had to come before I basically would have terminated myself. Jesus had to come and rescue me. Jesus had to get on the boat and come on the other side. He had to creep right into National City to find me. Where did he find you? Where were you? We all were somewhere hiding out somewhere. Huh? Remember, we weren't seeking him. He was seeking us. Can I get an amen? His screams was more of a shriek, the voices of the demons. The hitting of his skin and sharp stones refers to gnashing and hacking at his body, leaving his bloody and body with scars covered with blood. These horrible actions, saints, occurred constantly. He was indeed a frightening creature. People didn't go on that other side. We're not going over there. I don't care how good those carnitas are, I'm not going over there. There's a madman over there. Look at that. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he worshiped him. Do you think the man actually worshiped him? No. Because when light hits darkness, something has to give. And the King of Kings, and his glory came. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. When Jesus steps into the scene, when he steps into the room, I don't care where you're at, but here comes Jesus, things have to change. Oh, yes. Things don't remain the same. And so this man came in and worshiped him. Well, but we know it wasn't the man. The man did not run to escape Jesus, but ran to confront Jesus and scare him away as he would do to anyone else who'd ventured into his territory. When he came close to Jesus, the man fell on his knees, not in worship, but in grudging submission to Jesus' superior power. This demon power, wow, this power is bigger than me. Immediately they knew that the light was bright that came to that demon. The demons immediately recognizes Jesus and his authority. Let me just say this. You can walk into a room, a classroom, on the job, I don't care where you're at, and if you're full of the anointing, as soon as you walk in, they will feel and see the presence of God upon you. Oh, yes. They'll know there's something different. The atmosphere changes. Did you know that? Oh, yes, it does. And where there was darkness, light now illuminates the room. And so, look what James says about that. He says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. That's what that demon did. Man, it came to go boo. And as soon as he got close, man, bam, that demon fell to his knees and worshiped God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Did you know when we all came to Jesus, we didn't come proudly. He humbled us. We came with a heart of repentance that he gave us. Man, when you get a hold of repentance, you find out it was not you. God granted and gave us, hallelujah, repentance. I'm going to allow you to repent so that you can be humbled and your flesh can be crucified right now. Thank you, God. Look at this, verse 7. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? That demon already now knew who he was. Just imagine, their chief demon probably said, listen, don't worry about these humans, but there is one that we do not want to encounter. What? They knew him. They knew all about it. Listen, no one told them about Jesus, but old Slewfoot did. Why? Because Slewfoot, remember, he was the choir leader in heaven. And because pride lifted up, he was cast out of heaven. He knew all about Jesus. Can I get an amen? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Mm-mm-mm. Saints, the demon's first question was a request that Jesus would leave them alone, showing the demon's ultimate rebellion. Jesus and the demons were as far separated as anything could be. Jesus' purpose was to heal and give life. The demons wanted to kill and destroy, but Jesus would not leave this man in such a condition. Hallelujah. When I had $500 of crystal meth, when I was tore up, I had no hope. My family abandoned me. My family members were ready to send the law officers because they were all in law enforcement. Jesus saw my condition. It's time now. I got to go get him. I got to go get him. So this is why Jesus went on the other side of the lake. This is a picture. What he was going to do for us Gentiles. Because that was a Gentile tormented man living with pigs. My. How much lower can that be? And look at Jesus. I'm telling you, is he your champion? Yes. Come on, is Jesus your champion? I don't care if your team never wins the Super Bowl, but he's already won. Can I get an amen? Jesus already conquered death, hell, and the grave for you and me. And all we have now looking forward to is glory. Hallelujah. The splendor and the majestic place that he has prepared for you and I. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard the things that God has prepared to those who love him. And I know you love him, or you wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night. Come on. There's better things to do. Yep, around this time, I was about showering up and getting ready to go to the Black Angus back in the day, while my brother, the mean mixing magic man, would be spinning away. You know him. Oh, Brother Harry, you know him. We would have, oh, man, you know, come in our best duds, man, thinking that we're going to, yeah, light up the place, man. And, man, we was just wasting our time. Went in alone, came home alone. But man, look what God has done for us. Delivered us from that lifestyle. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. He's given us a heart to worship him and to adore him and to magnify his holy name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And so like the demon who had possessed the man in Capernaum, this demon tried using Jesus' divine name to control him. This demon referred to him as Jesus, Son of the Most High God. This is the highest title used for Jesus in Mark's gospel and shows that the demons recognized Jesus as God's divine Son. They knew. The words Most High God appear in the Old Testament and often were used by Gentiles when speaking of the superiority of Israel's God over any idol. And so those demons understood. Then the demon had the audacity, saints, to ask Jesus' mercy so that he would not be tortured in hell. The word for torture is graphic and correct. Did you know that the Bible says that at the end of the world, the devil and his demons will be thrown into the lake of fire? Huh? This is what these demons thought. Oh, man, time's up, fellas. Here we go. Look what Revelation says. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. This is why this demon says, why did you come to torment us? They were having their way with this man who had no power over that, those entities, those spirits that were in this man. And they didn't let, you know why they didn't allow that man to die? Because they need a host. They need a living body to go in. If he was dead, then they go find someone else. So they thought Jesus was coming out to throw them into hell. The question, saints, reveal that the demons knew their ultimate fate. They hope that Jesus will not send them to their fate early. But we know the rest of the story, don't we? Look at verse 8 and 9 here. And he said, come out of the man, unclean spirit. You know, I've been to so many altar calls. I've been to all kinds of, you know, meetings and altar calls, man. And I'll be seeing some people in the name of Jesus. Us and busting that person's neck. Did Jesus do that? He said, come out, unclean spirit. He asked him, what's your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. That's a real world. And like I said earlier, don't mess with that. If you have no wisdom, knowledge, or power of God. Can I get an amen? And don't you go alone. Don't you think you're the priest like in The Exorcist. Throwing holy water. You remember that movie? Throwing that water. I was 15 years old when I saw that with about five friends. We all slept in the same bed that night. And when we threw off our tennis shoes, we had to endure even that. We were scared. But man, I'm telling you, this is a real world. Can I get an amen? It is. So, saints, Jesus' first command was to one evil spirit. When that one did not obey, Jesus commanded the demon to give him its name. The answer revealed that there were many demons in there. A legion was the largest unit of the Roman army. It consisted of 3,000 to 6,000 soldiers, a legion. So this demon said, there are many of us. There are legions. So just imagine what was in this man causing him the torment. And yet they kept them alive so they could use that vessel. Man, when you look a little deeper, This stuff is real. Can I get an amen? Look at verse 10 here. Also, he begged them earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. In other words, they were asking for mercy. They knew that they could be tormented for eternity. The demons knew that they had no power over Jesus. They knew that. So when they saw Jesus, they begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place or the bottomless pit. Even in Luke, look what Luke even says the same thing here. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Man, the abyss. Listen, saints. I've heard a lot of testimonies. I saw DVDs. I read books on people who God has allowed them to see hell. This is a place that God saved us from. Can I get an amen? How many are so blessed that he saved us from that horrible place? If there's anything to be thankful and grateful, yes, he's blessed you with a great family. He's given you a job. He's given you everything that your heart could desire. But the one thing that we should always remember is that he saved us from a place called hell. Wow. A place of torment. Look at this, saints. Why didn't Jesus just destroy these demons or send them away? Why? Well, because the time for such work had not yet come. Jesus healed many of the people of the destructive effects of demon possession. But he did not destroy the demons just yet. Because in this situation, saints, Jesus wanted to show Satan's destructive power and intent over the 2,000 pigs that they all entered in. He wanted them to see that, you know what? That's a real devil. And he's a tormentor to those that would give themselves to the darkness. So we don't know the story of this man, how he got into that condition. We don't know if he was a Baal worshiper. We don't know if he was a murderer. We don't know what. All we do is pick up the story that there was a man in the caves going and being tormented. That's all we know about him. So the same question can be asked today. Why doesn't Jesus stop all the evil in the world? You ever ask yourself that? His time for that has not yet come. Because old Slewfoot, he's using for his glory. Did you know that? Oh, yes. God is using even the evil devil so that God's plan will be fulfilled. You got to remember, God created good and evil. And so there is a mighty plan that God's going to do as the curtain call. Remember, you know, at the end of a play, it's curtain call. And everyone on the stage, you know, starts bowing and starts saying thank you. There's a curtain call coming. Oh, yes. The book of Revelation portrays the future victory, Jesus over Satan, his demons, and all the evil. It's right here. Look at this. In Revelation 21:3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Saints, we're not there yet, but that day's coming. Can I get an amen? It's coming. Oh, yes. And what is the evidence? Our salvation, God who saved us, God who filled us with his Holy Spirit, that is the down payment. That is the evidence. We're born of God now. And so now we can see clearly what God is doing in our lives and what God said in his word, what he would do, and be faithful to his word. For the unbelievers, this is just ink on pages. For us, this is our life. This is our food. Hallelujah. This is where we draw our strength. This is where we draw our comfort. This is where we get our peace, knowing what God has done for us. Look at this. Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." Listen, we now have the living water. Hallelujah. And guess what? We will never thirst again. That's right. Yeah, you may want a glass of water every now and then throughout the day, but it ain't this kind of water he's talking about. He's talking about the living water. So now, the only ones, you ever ask yourself, who are the ones that overcome? You got to remember, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's by his what? Mercy that he saved us. Can I get an amen? We can't earn one iota of salvation. If you, whatever you bring it to the table, guess what? I'm sorry. You fall short. You fall short. There's nothing we brought to the table. What we received was mercy and his grace. And then he gave us faith to believe who he was. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. So look what it says in this next verse. He who overcomes. Okay, so who are the overcomers? You and me. He who overcomes, meaning we who have received the word of God. We who have been born of God. We who have the spirit of God. We who are now, hallelujah, heaven bound and a hell to shun. That's the overcomers. So forget about, I got to strive. You know what? Keep on striving. You know what? God already did the work on the cross. I hope you know that. Just when you fall short, when you sin, confess it. Come on. And keep moving forward. Because we still live in a body of flesh. We're still going to fall short in this fleshly body. Can I get amen? Amen. Come on. You was thinking ugly stuff this morning probably when you woke up. But he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But look at this. But the cowardly, the unbelieving. That's not you and I. You wouldn't be here if you didn't believe Jesus. Come on. We are the sons and daughters of Christ. Can I get an amen? We've been born again. We were the ones that was talked about in John chapter 3 when Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can a man be born when he, a second time, does he have to crawl up in his mother's womb and come out again? No, he says, Jesus said, you must what? Be born again from above. But the unbelieving is still walking around in their natural state of mind. Holy Ghost is not even close to them. They're abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers. Now, if you look at the word sorcerer, it breaks it down to pharmacia, meaning drug dealers, drug users. That's what it means. It's not about Merlin the magician with his wand. No, you got to look at the Greek on this word. Idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is what? The second death. Jesus, help us. Aren't you so blessed he came and delivered us? This is why this message is Jesus, our deliverer. He delivered us from this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Man, when you get a hold of this, you can leave this place tonight, man, and say, every praise is to our God, right? Amen. Amen. Sing it all the way till you get home. Look at verse 11. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains, okay? So saints, according to the Old Testament law, Leviticus, pigs were unclean animals. Look what it says in Leviticus real quick. He was telling that certain type of animals, don't even bother eating them. The hare, because it chews the cud, which does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. And the swine, Though it divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud, is unclean to you. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcass you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. But to us Gentiles, try to explain that to someone who grew up eating carnitas all their life and chorizo in the morning with eggs. But you know what? These folks that don't touch this, they live just a little longer. But we're all still going to die. So I don't care how organic you get. It is appointed unto a man to die once, then was the judgment. Amen? And let's move on. So this meant that they could not be eaten or even touched by a Jewish person. They couldn't. This incident took place southeast of the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Gerasenes. And so a normal herd of pigs would be 150 to 300 a head. So this herd was unusually large. So let's move back now to verse 12. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. The evil spirits begged not to be sent, to send them away, but to send them into those pigs. The demons knew that they had to submit to Jesus' power and authority. And they knew that he could seal their faith by returning them to the abyss or sending them far away. But notice, saints, they did not ask to be sent into the city. They knew Jesus would not allow them to inhabit other people. But on the hillside were enough physical animals, hosts for all the demons to inhabit. So guess what? Here's God's grace. Here's Jesus' mercy. The demons that were plaguing us, he sent a man to some other swine. Did you catch that? He delivered that man, and he sent him into an unclean thing. You got to get a hold of that. So that what was unclean in this man, he sent it to a filthy pig that was detestable to God. So let's look at verse 13. And at once, look at that. Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Man, those pigs would probably rather been butchered that day than have these demons come in and torment them. Jesus did not command the demons to go into the pigs. He gave them permission to do what they requested. You catch that? Satan has no final authority, but could only do what God permits. While Jesus granted the demons' request to enter into the pigs and destroy the herd, Jesus stopped their destructive work in the people, particularly to this man who was demon-possessed. That's God's mercy and grace. This is why I'm so ever thankful that when God saved me by the grace of God, I didn't go through 1 second of withdrawal. I didn't have to enter into a 12-step. Can I get an amen? God allowed me to take 1 step. And that 1 step was to Jesus. Can I get an amen? That's all I needed was 1 step, and he delivered me. He delivered you. 1 step. That's all we need. 12 steps, man, you might trip on the 6th one. Jesus also showed his disciples, the townspeople, and even us who read these words today, saints, the absolute goal of Satan and his demons, their desire, total and complete destruction of their hosts. In other words, they have no mercy on mankind. So don't you be playing with Ouija boards and And go through your old DVDs and go through all your videos and all these Halloween movies and all these things. Get them out of your house. Can I get an amen? Amen. Your house should be filled with praise and worship unto God. Hallelujah. The Word of God has to be the final authority in your home. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let God arise and let all his enemies be scattered. The demon's action proves their destructive intent. If they could not destroy the men, they would destroy those pigs. And that's what they did. Jesus' action, in contrast with the demon saints, shows the value he places on each human life. Some people might have difficulty with the fact that all the pigs died. But Jesus considered the man more important than pigs. Aren't you so blessed to know we were more important? Some of you may have a lovely chihuahua at home, but you're more important. Can I get an amen? Amen? You can love that dog and cuddle it, and oh, how cute it is. But you're more important than that dog. And this man was definitely more important to God than casting that whole legion into those pigs. We're coming in for a close. Verse 14, look at this. Those who fed the swine fled, and they told it to every city in all the country. And they went out to see what it was, what had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Well, wait a minute. I don't know. That's that guy, man. That's that dude over there. What's he doing over here by us? And they were afraid. You'd be afraid too. Come on. If this is the guy that was tiptoeing in neighborhoods, doing drive-bys. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him and who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their... I mean, you got to go now. Get on out of here. They didn't know if there was still demons on this boy. See, saints, when Jesus performed this miracle, he again gained immediate publicity. That's right. Fame went out. Listen, let me just ask you this question. When you got saved, were you hush? I'm saved. Man, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I must have called up 50 people that day, and they said, man, what is he on now? I couldn't contain it. I had to tell somebody. Man, I'm telling you, I had to tell someone, man, what God had just done for me. Just imagine this man's testimony, sitting there eating a sandwich like everyone else. Hi. You want a bite? Oh, that's that sandwich he just took from us. 2,000 pigs floating on the edge of the lake were certainly had it been a sight. For those who heard the story, they rushed out to see it for themselves. The crowd saw the pigs in the water. They saw Jesus and the disciples on the shore, and they saw the one who had been demon-possessed now in his right mind. Jesus had restored this man's humanity. Wow. He was sane and self-controlled once again. The people might have responded in several ways, as I just elated to. They could have been overjoyed to see Jesus's that on their own shore, this man is now walking on their shore. However, Mark used the one word of the people's response. They were frightened. I get it. Remember when you got saved? I shared it with you. I shared that when I first got saved, the first person I was looking for was go tell my dad. Blessed don't. You got your religion, I got mine. Mm-mm. Never mind. He didn't get it. He didn't. People don't get it when you get saved, do they? Uh-uh. They go, man, what's up with that guy? But as the weeks and the months and the years go by, you are still steadfast, holding on, glorifying and worshiping. And guess what? One by one, they start coming. I've looked long enough. I think there's something real there. Because my life is all falling apart. So don't give up hope. People are looking at your life. I hope you know that. They're reading you like a book. And many of them won't come to a Bible study. They won't even come to a Sunday morning session. Why? Because they haven't come to that place. So the only Jesus they're ever going to see is your life. So you got to walk it. You got to talk it. Can I get an amen? And be the Jesus before them. And one day they're going to go, okay, I get it now. Lead me to the rock. Lead me to the cross. Look at this. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him and said to him, go, just go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. As I just shared, that was my response. I had to tell someone what he did for me. Have you told someone? Hey, does your neighbor next door know you saved? Verse 20, last verse. He departed and began to proclaim and Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. They marveled. What a story. What a story. How Jesus went on the other side of that big body of water. And we saw, we felt it, huh? We took off our shoes. Some of us went in that water. I was there on another time. We were in the middle on a boat. You know what we did this last trip? There was so many. There was 600 people on Jonathan Kahn's tour. And all six boats, huh? We were all linked together. They tied the bows together, and we are all going across the lake worshiping God, huh? How many remember that sight? I'll never forget it, huh? Sister Vera, that was a wonderful time. Huh, Sister Louisa? That was a beautiful time. Brother Angel, it was like, man, I can't believe it. Yeah. None of us. I mean, it's breathtaking for when you experience that. But he went on the other side. For that man, for that one man that was tormented. This is why we love God. Because that's how he found us too. Tormented with all the devices of this world. Many people from that area, they followed Jesus from that moment on. Look at what it says in Matthew. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease that were among the people. Wow. And then it says his fame. You'd be famous too. Just imagine if you walked into Kaiser Hospital, as soon as you stepped into the hospital, all the sick got up and started walking out. Huh? You think Channel 51 and Channel 10 is not going to come hunting you down? What's up with you? Well, that's what they... Then his fame went throughout all of Syria. And they brought to him all the sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments and all those who were demon-possessed. Look at that. So that wasn't just one guy across the lake. There were many of them. Epileptics, these are the folks, you know, you've seen them. They're all shriveled up like that. Some of them were born like that. But they brought them to Jesus, and Jesus just healed them, and boom, they became whole. Look at that, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. He found you and me. We were in the same condition. No different. This is why God wants to use you in these last days. Can I get an amen? Proclaim him. Let people know that Jesus is alive and well. Let people know that God could save you. God can heal you. God can deliver you. So this former madman may have been known throughout the region. So when he returned to that same region, his testimony had results. Everyone who saw him, heard him, and was amazed. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for just remembering these stories. This story was written 2,000 years ago. Yet it's still alive to us because we're still seeing you do miracles. We're still seeing the sick being healed. We're still seeing salvation given to humanity. We're seeing all the marvelous things right now. And we could just look around in this auditorium and look at one another and marvel. Wow. God has saved you. God has saved me. This is his mighty hand. He wrought salvation all by himself. He did it for you, and he did it for me. I'm praying for those who are listening right now that maybe never surrendered their life to you. Maybe they never said, well, God, if you did it for that man, can you help me in my situation? The answer is yes. Through Christ, all things are possible. All you need to do is have the faith the size of a mustard seed, and you'll be able to move the mountain that's in front of you. So if that's you, God said something just that was so simple. He told Peter through the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to repent, turn to God. You can't fight this fight all by yourself. You need God now. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive you right now. We'll pray with you and watch God do the miraculous in your heart. Pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Give them a shout of praise and glory in the house.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, May God bless you, and thank you for listening.